You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Keeping Up with the Kardashians. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Keeping Up with the Kardashians news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Hey guys, I'm Jackie Moran, and welcome to, I can't believe I'm saying this, the Kardashians After Show finale here at AfterBuzz TV. And I have to introduce my fabulous co-host, Mari Fagel, is here to join me. Mari, can you believe it's the finale already? I feel like the season flew by. Are you with me, Mari? Okay. Maybe we lost Mari, but guys,
it says she's on the line. Weird.
Okay. Phil, you're teasing me now. Well, we have lots to talk about, so we need to get her back on here because there was a whole hour plus the proposal special. And we have, so I hear, Phil, can I confirm we have a very special guest calling in tonight?
Yes, she will call in about 10 minutes.
Okay, well, I'm going to tease you for now, but stay tuned because we have a very great inside scoop to offer you guys here at AfterBuzz TV on the Kardashians. And be sure to check us out on iTunes as well as Ustream and Stitcher and all that good stuff. And do we have Mari on the line, Phil?
She just hung up. We're working on it right now.
Okay, all right, cool. Well, I'll get started with a little bit of background. We have a lot of news and gossip, too, by the way, so this is going to be a huge after-show finale, so lots to stick with us for. But let's start with the part one aired yesterday, and we just came off part two, the proposal. So as soon as Mari gets back on, I'm going to get her opinion on this, but there was so much going on with the drama of the guys on part one. It almost took away from Chris and Kim and everything that was building into their big proposal finale. But we have
Jackie, I don't mean to cut you off there, but I wanted to interrupt and say hello, and then I can't wait to be talking about this episode. I cannot believe it's the finale.
Oh, Mari's back. I'm so glad. I was just starting to fill everyone in on part one of the finale before we get into the big proposal, which was part two, which just aired. But I was starting to say, Mari, and I don't know if you're with me on this, the guys are like taking over in the drama department with this big finale. And from Scott to Rob to Chris, I feel like the girls are taking a back seat here. It's crazy.
You know what? I like that, though, because I love Scott. I've said throughout the season how much I love Scott. I love Rob. I think he's hysterical as well. And Chris, I don't know if I like him so much, but I'm always intrigued whenever he's on camera because I'm still trying to figure him out. And so I'm fine with more boys and less girls.
Yeah, I mean, they're all really interesting. And I told everyone that we have a very special guest calling in momentarily within minutes. So until then, we can start talking and breaking it down from Scott to Rob to
I believe she is on the line.
Hello.
Oh, that's great. Hey,
hello.
Maria. Let me introduce Maria Menounos. I know we all know her over here at AfterBuzz.
Wait, what was that?
Let me introduce you. Maria Menounos is on the line, although everybody knows
no.
who you are.
No, actually.
No introduction.
Wait. Sorry, it's not Maria. It's someone else.
It's not Maria.
Oh.
It's Chris Kardashian's best friend.
Oh, my God.
Am I on the wrong program?
No.
No, you are not. You are on the right program. We're so happy to have you on AfterBuzz. Thank you so much for calling.
Well, it's my pleasure, and you have the greatest show and the greatest information, and you guys are wonderful.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Mari Fagel she contacted me and said that you were discussing the show, and if I would say a few words, and I didn't know what you wanted me to say.
Oh, Sheila, thank you so much for calling in. I am so pleased that you're able to join us.
Oh, good. I have myself and my husband here.
Oh, I am so pleased that you're able to join us. Well, I wanted to introduce Sheila to our audience. She is a dear friend of the Kardashian family and also a dear friend of our own family. I have known her my entire life. And so when we started hosting the show, I thought Sheila would be the perfect guest to have on and to call into our show and to give us a little bit of Kardashian scoop. So, Sheila, first tell us, how do you go back with the Kardashians? How do you know the whole clan?
Well, about 35 years ago, our children went to school together, and Chris and I became best friends, and you know how it becomes where your children play together, and you do things together and travel together, and you make lifelong friends, and that's how I met Chris.
And so tell me, you were not able to attend the wedding, yes, but do you have any wedding scoop for us? Oh, you were.
I was able to, thank God I made my Kimberly's wedding to Chris because those are my babies, you know, and I was thrilled to be there as their Auntie Sheila, and as a matter of fact, my husband Randy danced, after Bruce danced the first dance, she asked for her Uncle Randy to dance the first and a half dance because he was like a father to her as well.
And so tell me, what did you think of her dresses, the fashion that night, the whole thing?
Well, I can't tell you anything about the wedding because they make you sign away your life, which is fine, because it's going to all be aired, I believe, in October, and everybody can see everything. I can tell you that I did go personally with Kimberly and her mom and her sisters to pick out her wedding dress with Vera Wang, and it was quite an emotional time, and it was wonderful and special.
And now for all of our AfterBuzz listeners, you probably caught Sheila in the background of a couple episodes. You were in the background of Kim's housewarming party, yes?
Yeah, oh yes. Oh yes. That was that was to see Kimberly's new home, and it was really a fun evening.
And yeah, so, tell me, although you can't share.
I think you guys saw the cupcake fight, which was truly hysterical and unplanned and unexpected because Kimberly is, she admits, a neat freak. And so it was just perfect for her. And she got right into it and loved it. And it was hysterical.
Oh, my God. Well, that with that whole family, they're all so hysterical all the time. So I want to ask you, though, your thoughts on the newest member of the family. What do you think about Chris?
I think he's a doll. I mean, I really do. I think he's a doll. He's madly in love with her. She's madly in love with him. And, I mean, he's so personable, and he's funny, and he's just great. He fits right in.
And what about Baby Mason? Because we heard that he kind of stole the show at the wedding.
Baby Mason is terrific. He's actually in a little playgroup. My daughter-in-law had him get in a little playgroup with her. He's precious, and he just was great at the wedding. And there was a little moment where Mason was focused on, but you'll see all that in October.
And now, Jackie, I want to let you a chance to ask any questions of Sheila.
Yeah, I am so excited, and we have so much going on here. You even surprised me at calling in, so I'm just so happy to have you here and get as much as we can. And I'm just curious, I know you can't share too much, but I'm curious to know, as far as, you know, viewers on the outside here, we're kind of, it's happening so fast for us, you know, the whirlwind of Kim and Chris. How was Kim's demeanor? You know, you said you were there for the wedding dress and the emotional moment. How was Kim's demeanor through the whole planning process? Was she, like, because it just felt so fast to put together such a lavish wedding. Was she a calm bride-to-be?
She's amazing. Besides being so sweet and such a businesswoman and so efficient and so in love and all just great things about her, she was excited. I mean, she's a new little bride, and she's been going with him for a little while, not just a little while, but, you know, they've been going together for a while, and you know, the important matters are all resolved as far as they are meant for each other. So they're in love, and she was an in-love bride.
Aw. Yeah, I mean, I can just, she seems so easygoing and so happy and caring that I just can't imagine her getting overwhelmed, although I'm sure there had to. Every bride I went through.
No, she was really, really, she never seemed to get overwhelmed. I have to say that. I mean, she was just so happy, and she had to get down to business and make her choices, and she has the most gorgeous taste, and with her mom and her sisters were right there, and her brother, and it was perfect.
And Sheila, I want to ask you, because you've known the family since the beginning, so how have they changed since the reality show started and since the cameras started filming their lives almost 24/7?
I don't think they've changed. I mean, we used to go skiing in Vail when they were little. I mean, we would share a big home with another couple, and the 16 of us would be in this big house, and year after year after year. And, I mean, Kimberly would wear her, you know, fashion statement, you know, ski outfit with marabou on her sleeve, or at the time in the 80s, and she was this little girl, and we knew, oh my God, she was such a fashion plate, and she was always beautiful, and beautiful. All the kids are just so warm and loving. They're just loving, loving children.
And for all our AfterBuzz TV fans listening, you know, they love the Kardashians. So any memories or stories that you think the fans would like to hear?
Well, I'm trying to think. I could think of a ton of them. I think that When they would come to eat dinner at our home once a week, the family, And we always gathered around our kitchen table that we all felt comfortable, and we always started the meal with the peak and the pit of our day. And what that was everybody had to go around and say what the peak and what the pit was of their day. And different weeks, we get different things. But I think the funniest one was when we were sitting around the table, and we got to Kimberly, and she goes, "Well, the peak of my day was I got a speeding ticket." And then she starts to back up her chair. And then and then we're all like, "Oh, that's not such a peak." I mean, no. She said, "The peak of my day was that I'm here having dinner." She goes, "But the pit of my day was I got 2 speeding tickets." And as she's scooting back her chair, she's running out the door, and her father was running, and we're all running, and we're going, "Kimberly, Kimberly, wait, wait." And she goes, "Well, that was the pit of my day. I got 2 speeding tickets." So that was kind of a cute moment in our, we reminisce about quite a bit, and about always saying our peak. And to this day, they still say the peak in the pit of the day, because it's an important part of their hearts.
Well, they seem like a wonderful family. And Jackie, before you have any last questions, I just wanted to ask one last question, just because Chris is one of your best friends. And I don't know if you've seen, you know, sometimes in the media coverage of her, and even this season, they seem to say she's too much of a momager sometimes, maybe too much of a career person with her daughters as opposed to a mother. How do you feel about those criticisms?
I get angry at that, because she's an incredible businesswoman. I mean, brilliant businesswoman. But, I mean, behind the scenes, growing up with the kids, with the matching outfits and the duckies and the chickies and the bows and the matching bows, and we took the kids everywhere, and we did everything for the kids, and the kids are, you know, they were number one, and they still are number one, and now with Kendall and Kylie, they are also number one, and so people don't get the opportunity to see what really goes on behind the scenes. You know, it's good for television to show or say, and it's easy for people to judge, but from seeing from the inside, Chris has been the best mother, and she still is.
Well, that's incredible. Jackie, do you have any final questions for Sheila?
That's so sweet to hear, and I think we all kind of, you know, that's one thing we always wonder about, is that behind the scenes, you know, what's everybody like? And, you know, only you can bring something like that to us.
I think you even saw that last night in the episode where Rob had a problem, and I mean, her kids tear her up inside, like her life or her children. And, you know, I don't know if you saw last night's episode, but, you know, she was crying about something, and it was so close to her heart, and this is how, you know, she takes everything of each child, and they're her babies, but they're grown up, and she's working her tootsies off.
Well, actually, right. We'll be discussing last night's episode and tonight's episode. So before we let you go, I just want to ask you, what did you think of last night's episode and this finale, the engagement?
Well, I haven't seen tonight's episode yet because I haven't been able to, but I'm excited to see that. And I thought last night's episode was, I thought to myself, oh, no wonder Chris said she didn't love the trip to Bora Bora as much at the time. Because it was kind of stressful. But all in all, it was a wonderful trip. And we could see how it went. And so that's pretty much how it went.
Well, Sheila, thank you so much for calling in. It means so much to me and so much to all of our listeners here. So I really appreciate you giving us that exclusive interview.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I have to say, you guys are great fans, and stay that way. They're the most amazing family. I say that from the bottom of my heart, and keep watching. And oh, and Chris is debuting her QVC line this Thursday night, I believe LA time, 5:30. So it would be 8:30 Eastern, and so she's going to be doing that, which is amazing, and she's got a whole schedule planned, so lots of exciting things coming up, so keep watching.
Oh, well, we'll definitely keep watching, and Sheila, maybe we'll be able to have you back on when we do our after show for the wedding in October.
Okay, sure enough.
Okay,
sounds
thank you so
me.
Much, and have a great night.
Okay, you too, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Sheila.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was quite
a
surprise. I am so happy Sheila called in. She's one of my family's dearest friends, and I asked her if she would come on to our show, and I wasn't sure if she could, and sure enough, she called in. So I hope that that some of our fans listening got to hear some extra exclusive that we probably don't get to hear all the time, right?
Exactly. I was going to say, I let you
TV
sort of...
exclusive.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, we always talk about this, Mari. We wonder how much of it is for the cameras and how much goes on behind the scenes. And to hear someone like Sheila giving that intimate look at the family and growing up, what they were like, and just, you can see it on the shows that they have a certain closeness, no matter what drama they cook up for the show. But just to hear Sheila talk about them in sort of that real spotlight of just what they were like as a family before the cameras, it's just amazing. And it makes you sort of step back and realize no matter what we say, there's a true sense of closeness and home to this family. And that's why the show, I think, is the amazing show that it is and why we all tune in, because that's just something you can't deny. They're a very loving, wonderful family. And thank you so much to Sheila for calling in. That was so great to hear that. And we definitely have to have her back on the wedding special. So Mari and I already decided, Phil, we're going to do a wedding special here on AfterBuzz TV. So stay tuned for that in October. But we definitely
and it was interesting to hear her opinions on Chris, because I'm still trying to figure it out, but it's nice to know that someone who actually knows the family is so close to the family. I mean, they're like, you know, almost second parents to Kim. So for them to give him the seal of approval makes me think that, you know, I'm starting to swing in his favor.
I know. And so, you know, we obviously are going to get to the proposal. And maybe I have a few new comments now after that exclusive interview, but let's go back to Scott and Courtney first and Rob. And Sheila had also mentioned that moment with Rob. We can talk about, you know, let's talk about Rob and the fact that he sort of had some issues come out on this part one of the finale where Kim was sort of giving him a hard time, and the girls at the same time stole his beers from his room, played a prank, got him in trouble. He sucked it up and sort of took one for the team. At the same time, him and Kim were having what I think is a typical brother-sister fight, but it got a little out of hand. And then Chris came in, and I think he came on a little too strong with Rob, because even Kim towards the end said, you know,
I think it's a little too soon to sort of be jumping in on the family arguments, but, you know, Chris vows to win them over. They have their male bonding session. They play basketball, and all is good again. The girls confess to the prank. But within that whole storyline, we saw an intimate moment, which Sheila was referring to, between Rob and Mom Chris, where I really do think she was genuinely torn up inside over the fact that Rob is sort of sitting in the shadows of his sisters. And yeah, I'm sure he's set for life, probably, but is he satisfied with himself and his career and sort of is having a reflective moment here on vacation? So what are your thoughts on it, Mari? I actually really thought that this was a touching moment between Rob and Mom Chris.
You know, at first I kind of giggled a little bit only because I thought it was totally genuine, but Chris cries all the time. And so whenever she cries, I always kind of like think, oh my God, she's crying again. You know, some people just like cry at the drop of a hat and she cries, but they're genuine emotions. She has genuine emotions when she cries all the time, but you know, she cries, I think, in every single episode. But this one I thought was really poignant because, you know, she's trying, she obviously Bruce is there, but she has to kind of play both roles because his father passed away. And, you know, that's what she was saying, you know, you don't have your dad here to guide you about, you know, your passions and grad school, and I just want you to be happy. And, you know, we forget, because all the focus and the attention is on the girls, that it must be difficult for him. I mean, he graduated college. Graduating college and trying to figure out what you want to do is difficult for anyone, regardless of, you know, anything. And so the fact that cameras are rolling on that all the time and that all his sisters are uber famous and are set for life and he still hasn't forged a path, obviously is difficult. So I always like Rob, and I think he's funny and, you know, kind of a slacker or whatever. But, you know, that was genuine, and it must be hard for him. It really must be.
Yeah, that's kind of, I always have to say, I equated that sort of slacker word with Rob, and I actually feel a little bad because this episode makes you realize, you know, maybe he's not so much of a slacker as we think. You know, he probably has goals and ambitions, and when you're caught up in this swirl of, as you said, fame and constant filming and so much stardom taking over the family, you know, it's actually that much harder for someone like Rob to get into gear and find their path. And because he doesn't have sort of that do or die mentality, he can sit back probably, but he probably doesn't want to because it's not satisfying for anybody in life. So I think it's actually that much harder for somebody in Rob's position to take their own stand in life and make their own way. So I really give him a lot more credit than I ever have, and I'm kind of glad that that all played out before the season was up because I think that was an important moment for Rob in everybody's eyes. But then the only thing I'll say is I have to laugh a little bit because he's like, I'm going to get back to L.A. Of course, he makes a joke, like, I'll consider porn. But what is his next step? Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars, I know. So I was like, so much for grad school then. He's
right,
doing Dancing
right.
with the Stars.
I know. But you know what? That's okay. It's an experience, and I would love to try it out. So more power to him. I hope he does well. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, and that's why, though, because we felt for Rob so much, I think that's why it annoyed me even more so that Chris was, I felt, totally overstepping his boundaries, because when siblings fight, they say things like you're allowed to say to your sibling something that I would never allow someone else to say to my sibling. Like, the things I say to my siblings, you know, in the heat of the moment, it's like, you know, they were calling each other, like, asshole and whore and bipolar and terrible things. But, yeah, then you make up, and then a second later, I think Courtney said it perfectly. She said, but then siblings go through ebbs and flows, and then they make up, and then guess what? No one's going to forget the fact that Chris got involved and was mean. So it's like you don't get involved with siblings like that. You don't. And especially on the very first time on a family vacation, and I thought it was so demeaning when he was saying son, like son, and he's like 2 years older than him. I thought it was totally inappropriate.
I have to agree with you completely, 100%, Mari. I really think this was a big mistake for Chris. Of course, you can rebound. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world, but I do think that he was totally out of place, and I actually, it also even made me like Rob even more because he sucked it up through that whole scene, too. I mean, with him threatening to beat an apology out of him, and he actually did apologize again there when it was him and Scott and Chris. No need for him to do that. He could have totally said, F off, whatever, I don't have to answer to you. It could have totally went another way, and so I give Rob even more credit, and Chris definitely has to learn his place, but I think I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because it is very hard to jump into a big family like that, and sort of I think he was trying to be involved and protective of Kim and prove that he loves her and is protective of her, so I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass, but in my opinion, I agree, Mari. He definitely overstepped his bounds there. But, yeah. You know, he did rebound for me when he defended Scott to Courtney, which was another part of the whole Scott and Courtney storyline, which I'm dying to talk about because we both say we love Scott. And there, for some reason, whenever his storylines come about, I'm so interested in him. And this was obviously nothing new here, another questionable flirtation with the drinking disaster that there, he is wanting us to believe. You know, Scott invited a vodka company to the vacation, was going to invest in a vodka as a vodka partner for this company. Chris, the mom, is freaking out. You know, obviously, rightfully so, freaks Courtney out. Courtney's giving him a hard time. Scott is fed up. He takes the boat, strands them on the island, which I believe Scott was totally wrong for there. But I have to say, for this whole storyline with Scott and Courtney, as I've said in the past, again, I feel for both of them because I feel like Scott, I would say he was wrong in inviting these vodka partners to the vacation, but when you have a crew of cameras on a vacation and millions of viewers watching you, I mean, how intimate is the vacation to begin with? But in normal circumstances, I would say he was wrong there, and I'd say he was wrong for stranding them on the island with the boat. But as he said, they only waited 15 minutes, and, you know, I think he genuinely thinks he's in control of himself right now. I'm just sharing Courtney's fear that he's starting down a very treacherous path, and he thinks he's okay, but at any given moment, it can just go totally wrong, and that's why she's concerned, and he doesn't really get that. So they're having some major issues here. What did you feel with this finale, like where they left off? Because I'm a little unsettled still between Scott and Courtney.
Well, I want to talk about Scott because I love talking about Scott, but before we get into that quickly, I still think it was inappropriate that Chris even got involved with Courtney and Scott. How I thought it was weird Courtney was like, oh, it was good, he defended him. It was weird that he got involved there, too. Don't get involved in someone's marriage. Like, stay out of that, too. So I thought that was weird. But in terms of Scott, the thing is, maybe the reason I don't think it's that big of a deal is because I never thought he was an alcoholic in the first place. I thought, yes, when he does party, when he does get really drunk, he goes overboard. But I didn't think that he was, like, drinking every day all the time. Like, I never really thought of him as an alcoholic and as someone who couldn't control himself when he needed to. So the fact that he is out there having, like, you know, a cocktail with business partners or a couple drinks with Rob, I don't think it's that big of a deal if he can handle it. But if he really does have an issue and he does, you know, they do say that one drink is all it takes, so, you know, you don't know. I don't know. But every time that they seem to lead up to saying that he was going to go into a bad road, he hasn't. So I do feel like Courtney is overreacting, yet she has a child, and she needs to think of him and what's best for him. So the thing is, I love them as a couple. I think they're great, and so I don't like when they fight, and I don't like to see them not succeed because I like them both as people, and I think that, you know, they could overcome it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very fine line between you know, wanting to prevent something before it happens and being controlling and paranoid, you know. For Courtney, I just think with the past history, and again, we don't know the depth of it, and that would really play a role in how much I'm worried about it. But, you know, if he had a full-blown problem, then this right now, what we've seen, is not good. But if it, as you're saying, Mari, if you don't think it was a 100% like diagnosed drinking problem, then, you know, maybe it's not so bad. But for Courtney to say they want to, when they get home, she wants to go to the therapist, there's definitely major concern there. And he's been seeing an anger management therapist, as he said, and I know he's been seeing all sorts of therapists. So I think it is pretty deep, at least enough to be seeking professional help. So I'm going to say I think Courtney, I'm equally worried with her. So, and I like Scott, and I'm rooting for him.
I will say also, because it is difficult to, like, talk about someone else's relationship, but it does seem like Courtney does put Nathan first, which she's a mother, and of course she would, but Scott made a comment when they were fighting, like, oh, you know, you're being selfish. It's just, you're not, like, focusing attention on me. He said something that made me think, he said it a couple times, too, kind of subtly, I think that all of her attentions are just on Mason, and she's ignoring Scott and his needs because she can't forget. He's not her husband, but he basically is, and she can't forget about him, too, and just be all about the baby. You need to learn to balance.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a common problem with parents of a new child. I'm not there yet in life, but, you know, I tend to sort of hear around that's a big challenge, and it seems like that's what they're going through. Now, the one thing I'll say is it seems promising that they're in New York together filming Kim and Courtney Take New York, and there were some really adorable pictures of them on the plane with Mason on Twitter. So no matter where we left off here, at least I think there's more to come, and I think we'll see it even sooner than we think on Kim and Courtney Take New York. So I really look forward to seeing more of them because I find them to be possibly even more interesting than Chris and Kim, which this season was technically supposed to be all about. I'm just really intrigued by them as a couple. And with Mason, it makes it all very complicated, and I really hope they work through everything because I really think Scott has gotten to a good place, and I like him so much more than I used to, so I don't want to lose that with Scott. We got something going on. So speaking of Chris and Kim and some of that great insight that Sheila gave us, you know, this is where the renewal of the vows ceremony took place. That major rock that Bruce gave Chris was insane. And, of course, Kim's Chris wanted to emulate that and get that going on with Kim. So I think, you know, I think we can launch into the proposal now because that's what tonight was all about. And I guess maybe Bora Bora sparked it in Chris. But what were your initial thoughts on this whole big proposal special?
I thought that the engagement that we saw on television was not the actual engagement. And that actually makes me happy because at first I thought, oh, that's a little weird that they would share such a private moment with the cameras. But I actually think that that was staged and that happened after the fact only because Kim's reaction to me did not seem genuine. It seemed, I don't know, it seemed staged. I think that he did it off camera, which I think is great. And I think that they almost reenacted it for the cameras. That's my opinion. I know we could never verify that, but that's my opinion.
Right. It's just speculation, but I have to say, Mari, I really hope you're right because my biggest issue, even more than the fight that they had in the car, which I want to talk about, was the fact that if this was the real proposal, I need Sheila back on the phone because I need more verification on these two and their feelings for each other because that was like the most empty showing of emotions to me. You know, even with Chris, he was saying he was so worried, but it just seemed so staged. And that's why I hope you're so right on that And either way, it was cute, the way he set it up. From, first of all, that's Jonathan from the Spin Crowd. We all know him now from his show on E! Operation Pumpkin, and Chris totally jumping in, the mom, and controlling the whole scene. You know, nothing new there. The whole scene with Dash and Chloe. Just the paparazzi scene with the ring handoff. I mean, it all. Even when I saw that moment, I was really curious to know if Chris even had a hand in designing this ring, because I just, even that, it felt like impersonal to me. And then, you know, let's get to the scene in the car up leading up to that family dinner where Chris choked and didn't actually propose. He said it was due to this fight, and I want to know your thoughts on it, Mari. They were in the car, and Kim was talking about how she wants to buy Avril Lavigne's house, which is her half-brother Brody's girlfriend, you know, from the Hills. But she was talking about how she wants to buy that house, and I actually really admired Chris in this scene because he was talking about his financials, and he seemed very grounded about it. The fact that he had a plan that he laid out for his life, and saying that he's not going to even let Kim derail it, as much as he might feel for her. I really admired that in Chris. And then Kim, on the other hand, goes on to say, I can't downgrade my lifestyle for you in New York. You know, your place is cute, but it's like a college dorm. You know, you're going to have to get a nicer place. And I'm with Chris where he says he threw up in his mouth, because that whole scene made me panic just as much as Chris. Like, the fact that she said those things, that totally threw me off, because I know they joke that she's materialistic and all that, but how much does she really feel for him if that's what she's saying? You know, basically she was like, I'm not going to downgrade my lifestyle for you. I don't know. That really threw me for a loop. What did you think of that whole scene, Mari?
This scene made me like Chris, because I like that he puts her in her place. I like that he, you know, sometimes his mouth gets him in trouble because he says whatever he thinks. But when it comes to Kim, I think it's a good thing. I think that he brings out the best in her, and he calls her out on things that no one else would. But she takes it. Like, you know, I think it's good that he called her out on that, because she was being a spoiled brat, and he said something. And so good for him.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think she, like you just said, she's got that spoiled thing going on where I don't know if it's as serious as one would make it out to be. I think she's kind of sort of playing around when she says those things. But I really hope that she is, because that's just, to me, just not a good sign. And if I were Chris, I wouldn't have proposed that night either, because that was pretty bad. And, of course, the mom, Chris, at that family dinner was freaking out. I mean, even them stepping outside and talking about it, that had to be so obvious. So, again, like you said, that this was possibly a recreated proposal. Again, I hope so. You know, and then they have their engagement moment, which I think the scene was beautiful and the idea behind it was beautiful. So however he might have done it, whether this was it or another one, the idea of this one was really romantic and special and private, which I definitely liked about Chris, whether he planned it or not.
And you know what my favorite... You know what my favorite scene was of the episode, and I wish we'd seen more of it? And actually, right before the scene, I had said, I want to see Lamar and Chris interact. I want to see what they're like. And then the second I said that, they were on screen, but it was only for like 2 seconds, and it was kind of a comparing notes of what it's going to be like to enter this family. And I want to see them interact more. I don't know, because they're both basketball players entering into this world, this Kardashian reality world, and I don't know, I just want to see how they get along.
It's so funny you said that, because I actually made that exact comment in my notes. That mere moment, if only for a moment, was one of my favorite parts of the show. I loved seeing them, almost like, not that they were talking shop, but you felt like they were, the way they were bonding, and so I totally agree. I hope we get to see more of that in the future, but you know, that was a great moment for me, too. And another weird moment was, what were those, like, pony things that Chris came in with? I mean, that was just like a crazy barbecue, typical Kardashian style. Even the way they revealed the proposal, it was like, wait, are you kidding? Are you serious? Bible, Bible, Bible. And then these ponies come out. I mean, the whole scene was crazy, in my opinion. I don't know if you thought so too, Mari.
I don't know. I thought that was funny. I thought it showed, you know, they are a real family, like Sheila said. And so I liked that moment.
Yeah, no, I liked it. I definitely liked it. I think everything ended on a good note. I'm excited now to see, especially with all those previews teasing to the wedding special. I feel like it was like a whole season rolled into one special. Chloe seems to make a lot of great appearances, and I always love what she has to say. So I'm pumped. I'm pumped for this wedding special now, and I think we're going to have to do a very big special here on AfterBuzz and hopefully get Maria and Sheila and everybody on for that special, because then they can actually talk about it. So I'm really excited for that. And unless you have any last thoughts, Mari, I think we need to get to some news and gossip.
Basically, I liked the finale. I thought that it was...
Hold on, guys.
Nice
I believe Maria...
Nice to see Chris.
Hey, Mari?
Yes.
I believe Maria is on the line.
Oh, yay!
Hello, Maria.
Hi, Maria, hello. Thank you so much for calling in.
Of course. Sorry, I had a slight... moment of forgetting. But
no,
at least I still
okay.
caught you guys.
But it worked out
Maria,
great.
I actually introduced our first guest thinking it was you, and now I'm so glad that you're actually on. I said you need no introduction here at AfterBuzz, but thank you, Maria Menounos, for calling in. And we have been waiting to get your insight this whole season. We know that you're very close with Kim, and you attended that fabulous wedding.
Are we having a weird delay of some sort?
I think so. I'm hearing a bit of an echo.
I'm getting some weird echo and weird delay, so I apologize for any of the weird moments.
I think we can power through. Usually we don't hear it on the feedback, so that's good.
Okay, cool.
So what inside scoop can you offer us, Maria? Because I know you're so close with Kim and you attended that gorgeous wedding, which, by the way, your twit pic was gorgeous.
Thank you.
So what are your thoughts on after this big proposal and the finale and having gone to the wedding?
Well, I didn't get to see the finale. I actually haven't watched the show much ever, to be honest. I've maybe caught a couple episodes over the years. But the wedding was beautiful. It was, as you can imagine, really extravagant and beautiful. But the thing that I remarked about that night or the morning after, I can't remember, is that it was really representative of who they are, because everyone was there to have fun. They wanted to make sure everyone had the best time. It wasn't one of those, like, stuffy weddings that looked really beautiful, but, like, you were free to have fun.
And now, I know you can't talk much about the wedding, but I wanted to ask you about the vows and about Chris and how genuine he seemed when he was up there with Kim.
I feel like they were really genuine. You know, I've seen, I remember Kim talking about Chris before they got engaged and how happy she was and how different Chris was than anybody else she had dated. And they were totally lovey-dovey and, you know, just so happy with each other. And the vows were written from their hearts, and I thought they were great.
And now you know them outside of reality television because you're friends with them. Obviously, you interview them. How are they different when the cameras stop rolling?
I don't really see much of a difference, to be honest. I mean, like I said, I've only watched a few episodes. But I think why the show is successful is because they are themselves. They lay it all out. They're not afraid to be who they are and to say the things that they say in different moments. And that's why they're successful. I think that people who have done reality shows where they haven't been successful is because they're afraid to be who they are.
That's a great point. I always say that you can genuinely see their love for each other as a family, and you're right. You can't hide things on camera. Everything comes through, and I think no matter what the storylines are, you can see that they're, the way they act with each other and within themselves is genuine. So now, do you spend a lot of time with Kim leading up to the wedding? I know you were at the shower. And because I'm so curious to know, with a bride of a wedding with those proportions and how quick everything happens for us as viewers, I'm dying to know what Kim was like leading up to the wedding, as having you having known her for so long.
She was, she seemed pretty cool. I mean, I didn't spend any time with her really before. I know we were trying to get to a Pilates class together at one point, but that girl works so incredibly hard. And yeah. I feel like, you know, with a wedding or not, it was probably just as much work as she has to deal with every day. Maybe just different kinds of things, you know, like who's going to sit with who and things like that.
Which and now you arduous. Kind of alluded to this on your Twitter. You said that Mason stole the show. Can you kind of elaborate?
Yeah, I think it was reported in a lot of the magazines. You'll see. I mean, he is such a happy little kid. And he was really, he did something so, so sweet that when you're sitting there watching this, you're like, I can't even believe that just happened. It was so cute.
And now you stuck with the whole black and white theme. You had a beautiful white dress. Can we just talk a little bit about the fashion from that night? Kim's dresses and the other people there. Who was the best dressed of the night besides Kim?
Besides Kim, I think Mario Lopez's girlfriend was probably the best dressed. She wore this gorgeous gown. And Eva Longoria looked beautiful. I think it's actually funny. Keeping everyone to black and white made sure everybody ended up looking good as well, which I know wasn't the intention. The intention was to keep it thematic, but everyone looked really great at the wedding. So I think it worked, you know, in the kind of dual way.
They actually just showed the previews tonight, and they showed Mario Lopez with his girlfriend, and you're right, she looked gorgeous, and Eva Longoria as well. But Maria, I'm sorry, you're not giving yourself enough credit because you looked amazing. And are you able to share with us whose dress you were wearing?
It was a Dolce & Gabbana dress I've had for a long, long time.
Oh, that's awesome.
So the dress that I had gotten for the wedding, when it got taken in, they didn't take in the belt. And so thankfully, I'm always prepared and I had a backup. So I went to my backup dress.
And now before we get into any final Kardashian questions, I did want to ask you, Maria, I wanted to first congratulate you on your new gig, which is coming up September 12th on Extra. We'll all be watching, but I wanted to ask you about how you're preparing in any interviews. I see you were interviewing Alexander Skarsgård. Anyone else exciting we can see when you premiere on September 12th?
You know, we've been doing a lot of promo shoots, a lot of photo shoots. I haven't done any other real sit-downs. We're doing a bunch of stuff coming up that I obviously can't talk about. And then that week, we'll have some really cool surprises. So it should be a fun week to tune in, for sure.
Well, we can't wait to see you on Extra. And Jackie, do you have any final Kardashian questions?
I guess I'm just wondering if you have any last, you know, anecdotes or anything to share, Maria, that you may want to share on Kim's behalf or Chris's behalf, you know, because we're all dying to know as much as we can.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I really like them as a family. I think they're a really great family. And, you know, I learned so much from them, ironically, whenever I'm with them. And Kim, at her wedding, you know, she had so many guests there, so much pressure with all the cameras, and yet cool as a cucumber, and made sure that every guest felt welcomed, got their time with her, got photographed with her, and I just thought that was so incredible because it's not an easy task to try to enjoy your wedding and to try to make everybody happy at the same time. So I thought that was great, and I think that Kris Jenner just knows how to throw a party, and I talked to her the day after we were at a friend's house. Regis and Kathy Lee had a small little birthday dinner together, and we were there, and Chris was there, and I said, how did you do this? I said, you guys had everything, you thought of everything, down to Krispy Kremes and all the shuttle vans at night. So when we got back to our hotels, we had Krispy Kremes on the ride and, you know, little welcome gifts in the hotel room when we checked in. They had thought of everything. She goes, Maria, if you had only seen what I wanted to do, everybody had to pull me back. She's like, I've been throwing parties since I was 18 years old. So they really know how to do it, but yet they're a really gracious and warm and genuine family.
I mean, basically from your interview and from Sheila's interview earlier, that's totally the sense I get, that the family we see on camera is the family that you guys see off camera, and that's always really refreshing to hear.
Of course. So wait, when does the wedding episode air? I didn't realize they were already doing promos.
October 9th and 10th.
October 9th and 10th. All right. Well, I'm excited. I might have to come in for that episode with you guys.
We would absolutely love that.
Phil and Booth, remind me.
I will certainly do that.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you so much,
thank
Maria.
Thank you so much, Maria, for calling in.
Have a good
and
one.
We'll see you at the wedding special.
Buzz you later.
Buzz you later.
You. Oh, my gosh. Mari, we're having so many great surprise guests tonight.
I know. I loved both of their interviews, too, because it gave me such a different perspective on the family, because I think sometimes I'm a little quick to judge that it's too produced or that it's fake. And I think, you know, while a lot of the segments may be tailored and produced, at the end of the day, they're still a family and they're still real people.
Exactly. And honestly, for anybody who knows them, you heard it in 2 out of 2 interviews right here on our exclusive interviews on AfterBuzz. But any tweets, anything from the wedding, they all shared that common thread. So no matter what we say, and I'm going to say that as we go into news and gossip because it's not going to be pretty, but no matter what we say, you can't deny the fact that this is a close family and that they're all loving people at the end of the day, not only within the family, but with people around them. So you have to give them credit for that, and I love that.
Definitely. And now I'm waiting to hear this news and gossip that you have, Jackie.
It's juicy. So let's go to a quick commercial, and we'll be right back.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
It's television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig will come out.
When the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on. AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, I almost feel bad reporting this, but I do have to share that someone is looking to buy the rights to the Kim Kardashian sex tape, and this has been huge news all week from Vivid Entertainment, claiming they're willing to pay big bucks to completely remove it from the market. And just so you know, this sex tape has seen a huge jump in viewership with the approach of the Kardashian wedding. So TMZ reported that the mystery buyer has hired a lawyer based out of Tennessee, and they sent a letter to the head honcho saying, I was approached by a private party who has asked us about looking into the possibility of acquiring all rights of the Vivid Kim Kardashian sex tape. The lawyer added that the party we represent does not intend to distribute or broadcast the tape, but hopes to completely remove it from the market. So now, this obviously sounds promising that the buyer would purchase all of the raw, unused footage and all of the outtakes that never made it to the DVD. And people are under the belief that it's Kim Kardashian, the mystery buyer. There was a huge hint in the letter saying, we would purchase any other footage you may have control of that involves Miss Kardashian, but sources close to Kim wouldn't reveal if it was her or not. But the trouble comes with, there's a competitor now, Pornhub.com wants to buy the rights to the tape and put it online for free, which is the complete opposite of the goals of this mystery buyer. In a letter from them to Vivid, it stated that they offered $5 million for the tape, considerably less than the $30 million that Hirsch is asking for. So no word on whether he would consider that. But there's more. TMZ also obtained a letter from Ray J's lawyer to Hirsch, in which an attorney makes it clear that Ray J has partial copyright ownership of the video, and any attempts to transfer the copyright outside of these parameters will result in filing a motion with the courts to seek an injunction of any sale until Ray J's rights are protected. Translation, he wants some serious cash out of the deal. So there's a lot going on with the sex tape, and it's back in the news. And how do you feel about it, Mari?
I'm just trying to figure out who's suing. It has to be either Kim or her family who doesn't want that tape out there. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I kind of feel like the tape's old news, and so to bring it up now is only to, like, bring it back up in people's memories. You know, the tape's out there. This was a couple years ago, but to bring it up again just brings that up. We're obviously sitting here talking about it. So I think if people stop talking about it, that's the best way to, you know, stop that.
Yeah, I mean, I love to agree with you, though I did see that with the wedding weekend, it saw, I believe, and don't quote me on this, but somewhere in the range of 300,000 downloads in just the weekend of the wedding alone. So it was a huge spike. So I guess it's the wedding that sparked all of this, and possibly it's somebody from the Humphrey family not wanting Kim's, you know, his wife's footage out there. But, or now that she's married, she doesn't want that to become a problem. But either way, it's kind of sad that this is making news now and putting a little bit of a damper on the wedding and the beauty of that. So I feel guilty to report this next story, but with all that going on, Chris and Ray J were on a flight together. How awkward. As all this is going on, nothing could be worse than sitting on a plane next to somebody who has a sex tape with your wife. But Chris Humphries was stone-faced, seated next to Ray J on a Delta flight Sunday from L.A. to New Orleans. Humphries, who boarded in Minneapolis, was in an aisle seat across from the singer in first class. Humphries sat there for a few minutes before moving to a seat in front of Ray J. After minutes of awkward silence, Ray J walked up to Humphries' seat to congratulate him. Chris acted like he didn't know who he was, and then according to a source, Ray J said, "Come on, you know who I am. I just want to say congratulations." Then Chris, realizing he was cornered, said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm sorry, I know who you are." Neither rep would comment on the occurrence, but that had to be pretty awkward.
I mean, what are the odds of that happening?
It's like he gets married, he's on top of the world, and then it's like sex tape city. I mean, it's following him on airplanes. It can't be fun, but hopefully, as you said, Mari, the best thing to do is to have people not pay attention to it and make it all go away, and I hope that that mystery buyer wins out, because I think it's time to take that tape off the market. So that's easier said than done, but I certainly hope that Pornhub does not win out on that contest, that's for sure. But back to the wedding. Pauly D from Jersey Shore may not have been invited, but that didn't stop him from giving her quite a nice gift valued at $40,000. According to TMZ, Pauly was approached by Kim to DJ an event for her Dash store in this coming week's Fashion Night Out, which is Thursday. It's a huge event during Fashion Week, and Mari, you're welcome to join me to hop around town. Pauly agreed to do the gig and waive his appearance fee as a wedding present, and he usually gets $40,000 per appearance. So I thought that was sweet to report, but also I'm reporting it because I would love to go hang with Pauly D and the gang at the Dash store on Thursday. So I don't know if you're with me, Mari, but that sounds fun.
Sounds good to me.
And that was pretty nice of him, I would say, but I'm sure it's gets him even more exposure, and it can't hurt to be in with the Kardashian clan, that's for sure. So that
definitely
is all
not.
For your news and gossip this week on our finale show here on AfterBuzz. And since we have no predictions, of course, we can predict the wedding special, which we're Maria Menounos herself promised to join in if we remind her. And we have Sheila. We have plenty of guests on the roster already for October 9th and 10th. You guys definitely have to join us for that. But you have any predictions for the upcoming wedding special? I guess we can predict that.
Well, all I have to say is they did have kind of like a preview of that special, and I am most curious for Chloe getting into it with Chris and her opinions on Chris, because I saw she just tweeted, sometimes I am too honest and I let it get the best of me, but I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but I want to see that echo down. I want to see her opinions on Chris. And, you know, I want to see Bridezilla Kim, but I'm most interested in Chloe and Chris going at it.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I mentioned this earlier. Chloe seems to steal the show. I know with my sister's wedding, I was like the maid of honor Zilla, they called me. So it looks like Chloe may be taking that role. And I love Chloe as a character, so I'm dying to see how that all plays out. And as I said, it looks like there's more drama jam-packed in this wedding special than maybe even in the whole season that we just recapped. So I'm so looking forward to dishing on that with you, Mari. And we have plenty more to dish on together, because we're also going to be hosting tomorrow the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills together. And also,
yes, we will. I can't wait for that. So for all our AfterBuzz fans who are both Kardashians and Real Housewives fans, please follow us over to next night. Tomorrow night, we'll be hosting at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. Call in, share your thoughts on how they handled this awkward, tragic, you know, everything going on with Real Housewives, all the drama there. And I'm sad this is our finale episode for Kardashians, but I'm glad that we'll be back together in a month discussing the wedding.
I know. So all of you Kardashians fans, don't fret just yet, because we will be back in October for a big wedding special. So until then, thank you so much for joining me this whole season, Mari Fagel. You are an amazing, amazing co-host, and I love getting your insight on the Kardashians, being that you brought Sheila to us and you have some great inside scoop. So I can't wait till we meet again at the wedding.
Definitely. So, Kardashians fans, I'm sorry we'll have to leave you here, but join us next month for the wedding special.
And that's all for your AfterBuzz TV Keeping Up with the Kardashians Season 6. Bye, guys.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
Later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.